coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the first letter of John. Much has been written about love. Love is one of the main themes the Apostle John develops in his writings. We read in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 to 11. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The apostle addresses his readers tenderly, calling them beloved, a word that expresses closeness and gentleness. John speaks about a new commandment of love. In reality, it is the same commandment the readers have known since they were born of God, the same commandment God's people have always had through the enduring word of God to love one another. The expression new is not taken in the sense of time. New in the present case refers to something that is fresh in quality, kind, or form, something that replaces something else that has been worn out. So the biblical commandment to love was from the beginning. It was old. But its newness is seen in the new and dramatic illustration of divine love displayed on the cross of Jesus. Its newness is Christ's exposition of the Old Testament law, which seemed new to Christ's hearers. Its newness is seen in the daily experience of believers as they grow in love for each other. This commandment is true in Jesus and in those who believe in him. The beloved child, born of God, loves his brother because the love of Christ is at work in him. John says that the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The apostle points to Christ. Since Christ's death and resurrection, the old age of this corrupted world is running out. As the darkness passes, it does so in the light of his gospel, which shines through his word and sacrament to a world lost in the darkness of this old age. John remarks that whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Hate and love in this case are not primarily emotions, but attitudes expressed in actions. These attitudes are difficult for sinners to handle. God calls us to love good and hate evil. Among Christians, hatred cannot prevail, because they share genuine love for the same Heavenly Father. Love gives no reason for a fellow believer to stumble in the faith. On the other hand, to hate a brother is to walk in darkness and become unable to see the truth. Recapitulating what has been said, Jesus has shown us the love of God on the cross. This is the law commanded, but we could never fulfill. But more than that, it is the love that the gospel imparts to those who love their brother and abide in the light, so that there is in them nothing that would cause them to fall away from faith in Christ. The old commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, condemns us all, since we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. The new commandment, love one another as I have loved you, is rooted in Jesus' work which frees us from guilt. His atonement for our sins empowers us to love as He loves. In the following text, John speaks specifically to the people who are part of God's family. We read in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. First of all, John addresses little children, by which he means all believers who enter the kingdom of God. This is the church family. In this family are included fathers, young men, and children. According to some biblical scholars, these expressions do not refer to chronological age of people, but to spiritual maturity. Fathers are the more mature, the teachers and elders among the readers of John's letter. They were the first to know Christ. Young men are the less mature, but who have overcome Satan through faith in Christ, because they have been given spiritual victory and strength in Him. Children are all who are born of God and know God as their Father, Jesus as their Savior, and the Spirit as their Comforter. John reminds his readers in these verses that as Christians they have been forgiven and come to know God as their Heavenly Father. As a result, they are part of God's family and shall love each other. John continues to write in his first letter, chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride and possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. God has loved and continues to love as nobody else. Moved and inspired by God's love, we love Him back and share divine love with our neighbor. In contrast to this, the apostle exhorts us, do not love the world. By world is not meant the world of people or the created world, but world or realm of sin. So what the apostle is saying is that we shall not have affection for and choosing the sinful things of this world and this earthly life. God, not the world, must have the first place in our lives. Loving the world and loving God the Father excludes mutually each other. Both cannot coexist in us. While the world's philosophies and ideologies and much that it offers may appear attractive and appealing, that is deception. Its true and pervasive nature is evil, harmful, disastrous, and satanic. This is what John is saying. The desire of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, these things are not from the Father, but from the world. The sinful nature of human beings always seeks selfish things and is tempted to covet, abuse, and control all things. It finds false security in wealth and is proud of accumulated possessions that show off that wealth. We have to be constantly reminded that the world is passing away along with its desires. What today may seem durable, secure, and trustworthy will collapse tomorrow. Earthly pleasures, possessions, life itself, all are temporary. Building on them is deceptive. In contrast to this reality, however, stand God and His holy will. They are eternal. Whoever does the will of God abides forever, says the Apostle. Those who follow God's will abide as His people forever. After all, God offers eternal life to His children. Therefore, cling to Christ and live forever. In the sequence of his writing, John warns his readers about the Antichrists. We read the following in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He made to us, eternal life. John states that it is the last hour. What does he mean? The Apostle means the whole period beginning with Christ's first coming in the flesh till His coming on the last day. The word last also expresses a sense of urgency and imminence. The Christian is to be alert, waiting for the coming of Christ. This last hour or these last days have been and will be filled with the appearance of many false teachers who speak their falsehoods by the spirit of the Antichrist. John assumed his readers knew that a great enemy of God and his people will arise before Christ's coming. This person is called the Antichrist. Elsewhere in Scripture he is called the man of lawlessness and the beast, but prior to the appearance of the Antichrist there will be many Antichrists. The many Antichrists set the stage for the coming of the Antichrist. John makes it clear who are among the many Antichrists. Some of the Antichrists are the false teachers who emerged within the churches to whom John was writing. They went out from us, but they were not of us, remarks the Apostle. Since those Antichrists or false teachers could not abide in the Apostles' teaching, the doctrine of Christ, they left the Christian church. They went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us, says John. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian really is a Christian. When disagreements over doctrine arise and there is a division, those who cling to Christ's word and teaching prove themselves to be genuine believers. Those who dispute Christ's teaching and attempt to alter it prove themselves to be false followers of the Lord. In the context of the Apostle John, the fact that false teachers were willing to leave rather than to confess the true teaching of Christ shows that they were not true Christians. They opposed Christ. They were anti-Christs, literally instead of Christ or in place of Christ. Who is the Antichrist? Answer, this is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. There is one God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. Because of this, it is necessary for salvation to believe what God's Word teaches concerning the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. One cannot have the Father without holding to the Son and so also to the Spirit. Anyone who denies that Jesus Christ was born, lived, died, bodily rose, and physically ascended to the right hand of God the Father as the Son of Man and the Son of God is a liar. One cannot have the Father except through the Son and by the Spirit. John states, whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. As the Son of God, Jesus is the Holy One. He is God's chosen one and was anointed with the Holy Spirit at his baptism. John says to his readers that they had been anointed by the Holy One. In a similar way, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism, so every believer is anointed with the Holy Spirit at baptism and is born of God. Believers in Jesus confess before the world their faith. They display that they are born of God and of the one true faith. They have fellowship with God and with one another through the Son. John urged his readers to remain in the teachings they had learned from the beginning. He says, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. Every Christian should abide in the Word of God. We must never advance beyond, but continue to grow in the knowledge and in the faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, who was crucified and died for the sins of the world and was raised for our salvation. The Apostle John then exhorts his readers in chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, it is true and is no lie. Just as it has taught you, abide in him. False teachers or Antichrist try to deceive believers in Jesus Christ. They seek to gather followers of their beliefs. For this reason, Christians shall watch out and shall be able to distinguish between the truth and error. In this respect, the Apostle John exhorts his readers and exhorts us. John says to his readers, "You have no need that anyone should teach you." He is not denying the importance of gifted teachers in the church, but indicates that neither those teachers nor those believers are dependent on human wisdom or the opinions of men for the truth. Believers have been anointed, that is, the Holy Spirit remains in them. They have been baptized into Christ and received the Holy Spirit through God's Word. They have no need for false teachers who deny God the Father by denying his Son. The Spirit who accompanied Jesus is the same Spirit who remains in us. He always reminds us of our Lord's words to us. Summarizing what just has been considered, we can say the following. Christians abide in Christ through faith in him and all his teachings. There are many antichrists, false teachers who infiltrate the church and attempt to draw Christians away from the true Christ. There is great danger for us if we do not know the scriptures well and are unable to recognize false teachers. in God's Word and by His Spirit, we have everything we need to tell the difference between the truth and a lie. We already have all that we need to be certain of our eternal life. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.